Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all. Thursday. We're almost there. Look, if you've had a week like me, burnout, man. I'm tired, but we're still going to have a good show because there's a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about this TI thing coming up next because it's taken fire. I get it on one hand because there's a lot in this situation, but on the other hand, I'm like, really? But we're going to talk about it. We got licensed therapist Rebecca Shida with us, and she'll be joining us later in the show to do a little couples therapy because it's Thursday night, but she'll also be helping me unpack the TI situation, which is also our question of the night. So go on our Loveline IG page, and you get to weigh in. Y'all been blowing it up. You have thoughts about this situation. It's got it all tied in there. Misogyny, patriarchal culture, purity stuff, female sexual empowerment, adultism. So we'll be talking about it in another segment. Also want to share with you guys, I'm coming to Seattle. Seattle, I'm coming November 23rd and 24th. This is for all doctors, nurses, healthcare providers, coaches, sex educators, and also just general fans and sex nerds. So go on my social media right now. I got up on my IG, get your tickets, and we'll be announcing more dates soon. basically on a book and lecture tour, you can get your CEUs for your continuing education for your license. Or again, if you're just a fan of my work and want to come out, meet me, get your book signed, come on by. We've got day things, half day things. Also, we want to welcome 103.3 FM and 107.7 HD2, Seattle. Check us out. More dates soon. I'm going to try to keep in the loop. I forget this stuff. I'm really not great at my own PR. My new book, Rebel Love, came out this past January, and my publicist was like, hey, you know, it'd be really cool. And I was like, yeah, what? If you talked about it sometimes. And I was like, yeah, good point. I forget. I'm going to talk more about it, though. I got it. All right. So TI, it's on our IG page. Hit us up. Also want to let y'all know, Tuesday, we got Jake Shears from Scissor Sisters joining us. So get your questions ready. Call in. He'll be in studio. Got a lot of questions for that one. Also have a little bit of a backstory, me and him. See if he remembers, if you know what I mean. All right. So stick around for that show. Oh, yeah. It's going to get real. We're going to go there. Okay, so let's talk about some stuff before I get into trouble. Doctors are warning women. Ready for this one? I geek out on all the warnings that are out there about things you should not put inside yourself. And every time I think I've heard it all, there's a new one. Doctors are warning women, please don't put a wasp nest into your private parts. We talked about this one a little bit, but there's another variation of this one. Never ceases to amaze me. So basically what's happening is people, in order to rejuvenate or tighten their vagina, which does not need tightening or rejuvenation, just FYI, it's okay as part of the healthy aging process for things to happen, change and shift. Talk about more of that on another show. But basically, you buy this thing called an oak gall. It's a medicinal paste of bark and wasp excrement, and you put it in your vagina. Now, this penetration leads to a chemical reaction, which stimulates the bark and leaves, and it produces a hard ball, which is then ground up and placed back in the vagina to restore the uterine wall and heal. Y'all are killing me with this one. Now, Dr. Jen Gunter, who is blowing up on social media, we're going to have her on the show. She's wrote a book called The Vagina Bible. She's punchy. So she's basically saying, y'all, if something burns when you put it in your vagina, stop. I mean, that's kind of the final landing point. But the list is endless as to things we will put in ourselves in order to reverse the signs of aging or, you know, revitalize ourselves. Here's another interesting little one-off. Lucy Liu. I'm a big fan of her. Great actress. She's in one of my favorite shows, which is like a sleeper hit. You ever seen Southland? Right now, I think it's on Hulu. That show is so amazing. I watched it all seven seasons a couple times. Anyway, she's in it. Great role. But ready for this one? She paints lesbian erotica. Who would have thought? She's hetero-identified, but she does erotic lesbian portraits. Why? Just because. So basically, if you go on her website, she has a studio page on her general website, and it's full of her large expressionist portraits of lesbian sex. I got so many questions for that one. We got to book her on the show. And the only question is going to be, lesbian erotica, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, but do you? You know what I mean? There's some kind of unconscious thing going on there. You know what I mean? She's working through something. Maybe she's just not comfortable acting out in her real life, so she just paints the things she wants to do. It's a little bit of a sexual war shock. We'll get her on the phone at some point, though. Get on that one. Let's talk about some gay stuff, because we all love gay stuff. Whether you're gay or not or whatever you are, we love gay stuff. Now, what do we love more than gay stuff? Gay penguin stuff. Yes, that's right. I'm always documenting it. Now, it's the same old couple. There's this gay penguin couple. Someone needs to do a documentary on them because they're always up to something. And here they are again. So their names are Sven and Magic. And they're a set of gay male penguins, God bless. And they came into the news in 2018 because together they successfully hatched a chick. And those things aren't known to be that common. But again, nature is queer as all hell. So basically, I love this, at the Sydney Sea Life Aquarium where they live, which is basically essentially a prison because animals shouldn't be kept in captive spaces. But that's for another time again. They were realizing that this couple wasn't able to help this egg hatch. So they're like, you know what? Let's get the two gays. They do real well. And they basically set the gays up as foster parents. And the two gay penguins were like, yeah, we're down. We're in. We'll do it. So basically they did. They hung in there for 68 days and they hatched the egg.
Yes, queen.
That, thank you. Leave it to the gays. When in doubt, the gays got you. And whether they're penguins or not, I'm down for it. And then finally, there's a new film coming out, a documentary about drag queens under the age of 12. Love this stuff, triggers people. And basically, it's just about supporting people being creative and diverse. Go check it out. What's the name of it? I actually don't know. I can't find it. But that's what Google's for. That is what Google's for. Y'all do your homework. Y'all want me to do the emotional labor all the time. Google it. All right, coming up next, we're going to be sitting down with Rebecca Ishida, licensed therapist, talking about the TI situation. And then we got my buddy, Damon L. Jacobs, talking about what do you do when you see your therapist on a sex site and he's listing all the filthy, filthy things he wants to do. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back and we're going to talk about this TI situation. So Rebecca Ishida always joins us for couples therapy, and she will be doing so later in the show, but I wanted her to kind of join me in unpacking this. How's it going, Rebecca?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
Good. So for those that are living under a very big, heavy rock and aren't aware, the rapper T.I. is in the headlines. I mean, this thing has taken on a life of its own because he was on a podcast talking about the fact that for his daughter, who's mm-hmm. now 18, that he would go with her into her gynecological exams to make sure she still has her hymen.
Yes, I had a lot of big reactions to this.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's really hard to not have a thought either way. So before we get into the psychological and emotional components and your opinions, which I want to hear about, I just wanted to give people a quick education. Number one, hymens can be torn by many things.
Correct.
So the whole idea that it's tied to whether or not you've had sex is a problematic misinformation piece. Also, not everyone even knows this. Not everyone has a hymen. Hymens, once torn, can actually heal or regenerate, and they can still be present after penetration. And so all the information we have out there about this being a signifier as to whether or not someone has had sex is problematic. But it's also very misogynist mm-hmm, and anti-female mm-hmm. sexual empowerment, because it's this whole idea that it matters, that as though someone going from virginity to a healthy sexual being, as though they've stepped into something bad or negative, when in fact, I'm always advocating for us using terms like sexual debut, because it's a healthy sexual developmental milestone. Just to throw a stat at our listeners, 75% of teens have sex by age 17, 75%. So it's a normal expected stage. So the work shouldn't be in preventing that from happening, because it's going to happen. It should be about talking to teens about how to have it in a healthier way mm-hmm. so that they have the languaging, they understand boundaries. So we need to be teaching safety, not shaming it. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, the one thing I want to come out of this. So let's dive into the situation, because I think there's three key players to talk about. There's him, T.I., mm-hmm. there's the daughter, and then there's the doctor.
The doctor.
So where do you go first with this in your mind?
Well, first, let's just knock the doctor out of this. I mean, that is completely unethical.
Yes.
To perform the examination.
What is going on? What was this doctor thinking? I'm trying to understand. Was it the pressure of the father demanding it? But even so.
But it's abusive.
Yes.
It's completely abusive. And like you laid out, the hymen can be there if you have sex or even if you haven't had sex. It can be broken. Vigorous exercise can do it. I fell on a beam. I mean, you know, that probably did it. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that is so unethical and shaming.
Yes. Yes.
It's so shaming.
Malpractice questions come up in my mind.
Yes, absolutely.
You'd allow the doctor to, I'm sorry, that the doctor would allow the father to come in and try to exert that kind of control. And then, yeah, doing the actual exam and speaking up about what your findings are. This poor little 18-year-old, because that's also where my mind goes, that this poor girl is all over the internet.
Right. That's sad. And also the fact is the doctor should have not, first of all, not done the exam, but also reported it.
Yes.
Because before she's 18, she is a minor and that is child abuse. And that should have been reported to DCFS. That's it.
Because you're a mother of a daughter.
Yes.
Could you imagine finding out?
I would lose my mind.
Because you're separated from your husband. Imagine you found out that your husband took your daughter to the doctor to have the doctor check and see that. Could you imagine?
Oh.
So many issues, right?
It's so horrific to me. And the double standard that's there too.
So tonight we're talking with licensed therapist Rebecca Shida about the T.I. Hymen situation. And so we're kind of removing the doctor now. We've decided that this is a problematic doctor. For those healthcare professionals out there, please honor boundaries, no matter how intimidating the father, parent might be or whatever it is. Please respect the rights, integrity, and health of the people that you're there to serve. Okay, now let's talk about the daughter for a minute. Mm-hmm. This poor thing, mm-hmm. I'm wondering what else we don't know about as far as the
Correct.
Way he tries to maybe control her or her sexuality. And I'm also considering the impact of the fact that her face and the story is all over the internet. How shaming and stigmatizing is just that piece?
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of messages, like you're saying, this sexual debut, that this idea of, sexual positivity, none of that is getting instilled in this child at all whatsoever, except that somehow this is some prize to remain a virgin and somehow it's being shamed. And the idea that we don't have tests like this, do we, for men
well,
or
that's
boys?
The other point.
I mean, that's not happening.
T.I. has a son.
Right.
You know, he's not being brought anywhere.
Yeah,
to be
I mean, I don't know what you
on.
Do with the penis to even
I
check this.
Either.
But the point is, that's not happening.
It's so, definitely not.
You know, the double standard is amazing to me.
Because when we look at, I was looking at the research in a purity culture, because that's what came up for me. And mm-hmm. I was talking about this on the morning show, Let's Go There, Jay and Michaela. And I was saying, you know, it brings up the idea of purity culture. And when we look at the studies of those in purity culture, and for those that aren't familiar with that, that's the idea that a child, a girl, of course, always, pledges her sexuality and her quote unquote purity, because that's apparently tied to whether or not you've had sex, not whether or not you're a good person,
right.
but your purity is whether or not you've had sex, to her father with a ring. The studies show that those who pledge their abstinence are just as likely to wind up having premarital sex as those who don't. They just do it with more pregnancy and STIs because they don't understand how to use a condom, mm-hmm. how to ask for one, their mm-hmm. body, consent, boundaries. So it still happens. It's just delayed mm-hmm. and less informed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Or I even think, too, when you repress somebody more, they're more likely to act out.
That's right.
So.
And internalize the messaging that this is just something that I should feel bad about once I finally have sex. And so when they finally do have it, they move forward carrying this idea that they're not marriage material or a good mm-hmm. person or wife material.
I think what's also being taught here is this idea that men are controlling, men are abusive, men are meant to hold the power in the relationship. At least this is what she's being taught.
That's right.
You know, and that is so negative, because then what kind of choices will she make relationally? What will feel familiar to her? Even though maybe she later on says, this is not what I want. What there is already the trauma that she's
yes.
experienced, and she will most likely be drawn to somebody who is that way.
Because that's familiar to her.
Yes.
The best thing we could hope for her is that she happens to be one of those people in the small percentage who somehow then instead distance from it because they say, I know this. This is like my father. I don't mm-hmm. want this. Okay, so let's quickly now close out talking about T.I. himself. Mm-hmm. So do you also have concerns as to what are the other domains or topics or themes around which he's hyper-controlling of his daughter's behavior?
Oh, there must be so many things.
Right?
It must be the way she dresses, the way she presents herself. My understanding is that, I mean, does he have, I think he's got some stuff from his past.
Oh, I don't know.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
But I don't know it well enough to speak to it. But to me, I think there's also some projection that must be going on there as well. The idea maybe in his head, well, that guys are all after sex and this is all that they want. And so he's sort of putting out that message, whether it's spoken or unspoken
instead
as well.
Even if that were the case, which clearly it's not, there are good guys out there that are interested in intimacy on other levels.
Sorry.
You haven't met them. I'm going to try to introduce you to a few. Even if that were to be the case, I would still want him to arm his daughter with information and boundaries, not shame. All right. So wrapping that one up, Rebecca Shida, we're going to be doing couples therapy later in the show. So it's going to be a long night for you. Thank you for sticking around for that one. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with licensed therapist Damon Jacobs about the sexuality of your therapist. Ah, yes. When you find out that your therapist is on a hookup app. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're going to talk about a topic that I think is kind of important. There's a lot to take out of this, and also something that's kind of impacted me as well. So I was looking at the news, and there was a story about an individual writing into one of those, you know, Dear So-and-So columns, and the title was, Dear Therapist, I can't stop thinking about my therapist Grindr profile. So this individual basically was on Grindr, which is a sex-seeking app, and saw his therapist and then looked down at the therapist's About Me section. And as he claims, there was explicit detail about the kinds of sexual encounters he was looking for. So I want to unpack this. So, of course, I thought, who would have a robust and honest conversation with me about this? Damon Jacobs, licensed therapist and HIV specialist. What's going on, Damon?
Hey, it's great to hear. It's great to talk with you about this subject and why this would be problematic for anyone.
Well, what's interesting is even before we get to that, I thought who in the mental health field would be honest enough to even unpack this with me? Because I thought like there's a lot of people that might really have a lot of anxiety around this. So I know that you'll go in with us. So what came up for you when I read that little piece to you? What were your first thoughts?
Well, what seems implicit in this idea is that therapists aren't healthy the way everybody else is. And I'm explicitly using healthy and sexually active in the same way, because to me, those terms are interchangeable. So if someone's thrown off by the idea that their therapist is a natural, healthy, empowered, emboldened person who's able to ask for what they want in a consensual way, and if that's problematic, then that's definitely something to examine in therapy. And it makes sense that someone would feel that way in a sex-negative culture, where we're told that sexuality and the pursuit of sexuality is wrong and bad and pathological and all those words that people use in your calls all the time. But, we are therapists. We are human beings. We eat. We breathe. We go to the bathroom and we have sex just like everybody else.
It's so funny because I think, sadly, some people hold therapists to a standard as though we're not full humans. And I found myself sometimes in conversations even outside of this saying to people, let me be a human first. Like, I'm not perfect and I'm going to have struggles, because I feel like sometimes we're even denied having flaws, right? And then I was speaking at a university a couple months ago and one of the students raised their hand and said to me, ready for this one? Our teacher told us we're not able to even have dating profiles, not to mention maybe a sex-seeking app profile, but not even like a Tinder or OkCupid.
That's pretty disturbing.
Right? Because go ahead.
This is a therapy, a psychology program?
Yes,
for people
a master's
folded?
Program. Yes, yes. And my pushback immediately was, number one, you all get to have a life and be a person, and you all get to seek love and romance, right? Like, that is acceptable. Number two, you're modeling that for your clients that it's healthy and appropriate to want to have relationality or sexuality. And I love what you said in the intro, is that it's a healthy act in our culture of defiance of sex negativity. And so it's even more important that therapists are doing these things.
Well, yeah. So what if I liked sports and, I went to a place where community event where people played sports. And let's say I was like really good at basketball. And I, made it public that I liked playing basketball because it was healthy and I enjoyed it. And it helped me feel alive and like meaning in my life. Would that be a problem in this framework?
Of course not.
Well, of course not, because baseball or basketball or whatever, sports are like considered to be healthy, but sexuality and expressions of sexuality are considered to be unhealthy and a sex toxic culture.
Which is why I can't even watch Law & Order SVU, because literally in the intro they say sex is especially heinous. And I'm always like, oh,
anus.
Man.
I know, I would say anus. Oh, wait, heinous. Okay. I think this goes back to the old patriarchal, misogynistic archetype of the Madonna whore. And this idea that one cannot have a loving, caring, paternal, maternal figure who really genuinely wants good for the world and is nurturing of the world. One cannot be that and be a slutty pig at the same time. You can't have both of these qualities in the same person.
Well said. Tonight we're talking with Damon Jacobs, licensed therapist, about finding your own therapist, maybe on a sex-seeking app, and finding out that they are an empowered, healthy sexual individual. So what advice would you give to a client who's listening right now thinking, okay, I saw my therapist on Tinder or on Grindr or Scruff or whatever it is, made me uncomfortable, and I have a little anxiety about bringing it up in the session, or even the question of should I? What would you say to that?
Well, first I'd say there's no such thing as should.
Because okay, that's right. That's right.
In the book,
well said,
absolutely
sir. Well said, yes.
And for, exactly for this reason, because we're talking about therapy, which is not a scientifically based health practice. There's no science. There's only theories that tell people what might be healthy and what might not. And these are all mights, because these are all theoretical. So I'd say bring it up. I'd recommend people bring it up. And if it's uncomfortable, think about why that might be uncomfortable. That's okay. It would be uncomfortable because I think our culture is sex negative and tells us to feel guilty and bad and wrong about sex. And it might be uncomfortable to talk about it with someone who doesn't feel guilty and wrong and bad or sinful about sexuality. But therapists are human. And like you said, we're role modeling. Part of what I think our function is as healers, if we're going to be serious about being healers in this world, is healing the wounds of rape culture and toxic masculinity. And when people are afraid to talk about sex and celebratory, consensual, loving sex, that to me is a symptom of a much, much larger problem of toxic masculinity, rape culture.
Damon, so you have an audience of producers in the studio cheering for you silently right now. They are like, as you're saying everything, they are like, yes, fist pumping. They're like, say it, preach, because it's such a needed yes. commentary that you're giving, and it's so liberatory and freeing. So thank you for what you just said. That was like so beautiful.
My pleasure. And I think one of the blessings of the digital age is that health professionals are more transparent and accountable now than we used to be.
Right.
And I have a colleague, a doctor named Dr. David Mailbranch, who just wrote an essay about this in HIV care, that now more than ever, if we truly want to be healers and helpers in this world in the medical profession, it means that we responsibly account for who we are and that we are transparent as fully body, mind, and spirit in healthy medical sexual ways.
Bam, so stunning. And I think that's so important as well. We can't talk to our clients about being authentic out in the world if we ourselves aren't able to do so. Damon Jacobs, where can people find you?
DamonLJacobs.com. Don't forget the L. DamonLJacobs.com.
Awesome.
Or, you know, every now and then on your show.
That's right. That's right. As always, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Have
I appreciate
a great night.
It.
Bye-bye. Question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. Coming up next, though, we're going to be sliding into those DMs, listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, can't hear myself. There we go. All right, question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is about the T.I. Hyman Gate. Oh, yeah, the T.I. Hyman Gate. Y'all got to know this one. I can't go anywhere on my social media without some part of this popping up. So I hope you're all tracking this. We were talking about it a little bit early in the show, but you've been blowing up our IG with it. So we'll break that on down later in the show. Bear with me. Okay, time to slide in the DMs.
To the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. All right, what you got tonight? Hey, Dr. Chris, regarding your topic of age differences from yesterday, made me think about a recent encounter. I picked up a woman at an event, and I didn't find out until the next day that she was only 20. Let's just hear what was embedded in that statement. Someone had a good night, because it wasn't until the next day when the person was in your bed that you realized that she was only 20. Why were you saying only 20? Not only 20, she was 20. I knew she was younger, just not that much younger. It dawned on me that I really should be more careful about this sort of thing. Clearly, I can't count on the venue to check age. She's too young to be drinking, but she was served drinks all night from multiple bars, and I'm really not into girls that young. How would you go about this? Conventional wisdom says it's rude and potentially a turnoff to ask a woman her age, but I want to avoid this in the future. All right, let's break it on down. Number one, yeah, she shouldn't be drinking if she's underage. And I'm kind of saying that to the people that are underage. Like, I get the desire to drink, but if you're underage and you're trying to get free alcohol, you're setting up this place to lose their liquor license. So, like, don't put that on them. First off, let me just say that. Don't put that on them. But I also agree with you that the venue should be checking IDs. Second, if you're underage, under the age of 18, please don't have sex with someone over the age of 18 because you're setting them up to go to jail. Please don't lie about your age. I know of too many stories where people said they were over 18 and they weren't. But then I'm flipping it on the adult as well and saying it's difficult because I agree with you. A lot of people aren't down for you to be like, how old are you? But you know what? When in doubt, I'd ask. And then you have to operate from the, you know, trust factor unless you're going to check IDs. And yeah, conventional wisdom does say that some people think you shouldn't ask a woman her age. Again, that's ageist and sexist. We should all be comfortable talking about how old we are. You know, again, you should date people that you're turned on by and interested in. And this person happened to be 20 and you were. And so it might happen again. And so I'd get less hung up on what age you're usually into. Go with what's working for you. But yeah, you got to ask people how old they are if they're looking really young, because it's not worth getting into some legal trouble over. Slide the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, couples therapy with Rebecca Shida. We talk about returning to dating after having not dated for a while.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for some couples therapy. So, of course, we've got our resident couples therapist, Rebecca Shida, with us. What's up?
Not much. Hanging in there.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around for the whole night. Hopefully you're learning a thing or two. So tonight I wanted to talk about something that's really profound for some people that are exiting relationships or re-entering the dating world. You know, the whole idea of people that have been out of the dating game for a long period of time, maybe they've been in a marriage and they're now newly divorced, or sadly they've lost a partner, or they're just at a point in their life where they're wanting to date again, and now they have to encounter a whole new world. It's a different world out there. And I think what's really special about this topic, real special, is that this is kind of your story too.
Right, correct.
And that's why I think I love doing this segment with you, because you can't right now in 2019 talk about couples therapy issues without encountering and talking about dating apps and sex apps and that whole world, right?
Right, right.
And so I love that you're currently single, so you can kind of speak to both sides. So when a client comes in and they say, listen, Rebecca, I think it's time. I'm ready to get back out there. What is your first thought? Because my first thought's like, here we go. Get ready.
Well, there's so many things. I mean, I guess one of the things I think about is, are you prepared? Are you ready? I mean, I think that, you know, that's an important piece of, you know, moving forward is, are you prepared emotionally for what's out there? And are you ready today? Do you know your worth?
I love that question.
You know, that's the key to everything in my mind. Do you know your worth? Because then you will be able to weed people out who are terrifying on online dating apps. And you will also be able to be able to see the red flags and say no. This is not acceptable treatment.
Let me pull one of the pieces out of there that I agree with you powerfully is, and I love this, like assessing readiness, because unfortunately, you are probably most likely not right out of the gate going to meet someone phenomenal,
right.
And you have to be ready to encounter a lot of disappointment and chaos.
Correct.
And so are you grounded enough to be able to tolerate and encounter that? Like, how's your self-regulation skills? Do you have support? Is your self-esteem there? Because it is punctured frequently in this online dating process.
Absolutely.
And it can be very traumatizing for someone who hasn't had to have their desirability questioned like that.
Right. I mean, I think it's a whole new game. I mean, in the past, you know, you met people organically, and that I loved that. And people were most likely introducing you through friends. So there were those connections, and ghosting wasn't as big of a thing as it is now.
And the ability to do multiple levels of assessment, because you're in real time, right? We're online. It's like a one-dimensional thing. But
correct.
Meeting them out in the wild, as I say, you can assess like chemistry, compatibility. You're talking to them. You're seeing them. You're looking at them, because there's nuances. How the person holds themselves,
their energy,
how they move, their energy,
their tone,
how they talk to you. Like,
are their eyes darting around?
Exactly. Yeah. It's really meaningful stuff, where online dating, it's all that's kind of delayed or drawn out.
Right. And also, you know, is the person that you're talking to online, are they even real? I mean, that's something to even think about now too.
Start there. Yeah.
And it's unbelievable how a lot of these people are fake. I mean, some of the things I've experienced online, I mean, it's great comedy material, you know, but it's not necessarily like a love affair.
Well, it's interesting. We'll have to have him on. So Stephen Horbold is one of the heads heads of Hornet, which is a LGBTQIA dating app, and they're leading the charge with creating a verification system.
Oh, that's great.
Because of all the problems. So right now we're doing couples therapy with licensed therapist Rebecca Sheeta, and we're talking about returning to dating after a loss of a loved one or marriage or whatnot. So the first thing we were talking about was just having the foundational confidence and abilities, readiness, essentially, to go out there and encounter all this. So what comes up after that? Because I always tell people, step two is be willing to put the time and energy in. It's a numbers game.
Right. It's a numbers game, and you have to put in that. I mean, you really do have to take time. It does feel like a little bit of a part-time job sometimes. And,
it really does.
And you also have to have some strength to deal with rejection, which I think is, you know, because there are so many people coming at you that you have to be okay that some people may unmatch you. They may delete their account. They may stop talking to you. You might think you have a great conversation and they're gone.
You can build an all-day, multi-day, multi-week relationship that you think you can count on and trust, and then they disappear, which is where the word ghostings come from.
Right.
Okay, so the thing I add even on top of that one is assessing dating app burnout. So I'm kind of looking at this as like a step-by-step because a lot of people aren't aware of what that's a real thing. And I'll say to them, if the process is starting to make you feel overly anxious or depressed, take a break.
Yeah, right. I mean, that probably happened for me after 2 days, but it's a little bit depressing.
Yeah.
I think it's a little depressing. I think also, you know, being somebody who's 49, I'm a little older. I don't think I look that, but, you know, there are also people start to kind of look at a range of ages that are different. So there are certain people that maybe won't even consider me because of my age.
But let me also say what is working for you is your race, because the studies looking at heterosexual dating is Asian women, and you're Asian, are the number one sought out female race.
Is that right?
It is. And
where
so,
are my boys at?
Where are your boys at? I don't know. That's another question we will unpack and figure out. But you have to encounter sexual racism, where people are assessing or ruling you out based on factors like that, either explicitly in the profile or just when they see your picture. I think it was for heterosexuals, Asian women are the number one, white men are the number one, and black women are the least sought out, and Asian men are the least sought out in the hetero world. Yes, and that's really problematic and unfortunate. A lot of racism in there.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And even
absolutely.
For people that are seeking Asian women, which is the most sought out, there's a lot of fetishization in there.
Yes, yeah.
So it's not necessarily always a beneficial thing.
Right, I mean, when you know, I think what becomes problematic too is that, you know, people don't know you obviously when you're in this app, but all of a sudden I'm getting these requests for things that are just like like pegging. I'm like, oh my gosh, did that just happen? I just asked you where you were from.
Yes.
And now you are telling me you want me to peg you.
I apologize. It was probably me.
I don't know. It wasn't the guy in the picture.
Like
that was for sure.
Okay.
I think
just
it was somebody else.
But I'm just figuring it out.
And like the, you know, the genital pics, you know, I'm just don't get it.
D pics immediately. I know.
I'm why
you were showing me some of what you've been encountering. Like,
yes.
Look at who sent this picture. Look at what they're saying here. And can you believe this?
But
is
like
this
I
really
said, a D pic with different T-shirts.
Yes.
Obviously, a D pic collection.
Well, you know, it's holiday time, and we want to make sure it's holiday and weather appropriate. You know, you can't be sending a D pic with short sleeve shirts in the winter. That's just weird. All right. So Rebecca Sheeta, as always, thank you for enlightening us in the world. So much more to say about this topic. Like, we could put another hour or two into this topic.
Awesome.
But maybe we can pick up the rest of it next time.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at HungryBecca or my website, which is RebeccaIshida.com.
Bam. All right. Coming up next, Freak on the Streets and then Question of the Night. So time to weigh in on that still. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and Radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Just sitting over here being petty. all those that have been kind of tracking everything know that I recently have some construction going on where I lived. I've had to relocate into a luxury condo place for temporary. They give you assigned parking, and someone's been in my assigned parking. So I literally was reaching out to the building saying, I'm going to need you to refund my 4 days worth of parking. So they're cutting me a check for $25. But I was like, handle your business or you going to pay me my money back.
Yes, queen.
Yes, they learned. Someone's going to learn today, I said. I said, tow that car. Okay, anywho, let's do some Freak on the Streets.
Freak on the Streets.
What you got for me tonight, kids?
Hi, so I had a question about dating and falling out of love. I recently
was dating a guy for about a month, and then he just stopped showing interests. And knowing in my head, like, I knew I shouldn't try, but, you know, sometimes the heart wants what it wants, and you want to try. And in the words of Lizzo, he don't love you anymore, walk your fine ass out the door. You know, like, I knew that in my mind, but that's easier said than done. What are some practices you do to remind yourself that you're a bad bitch and that you don't need them?
Oh, wow. I didn't think that's where the question was going to go. I kind of like that, though. I thought it was going in a different direction. So what are some practices you can do to remind yourself? Okay, so thank you for quoting Lizzo. I wish I had a really witty response, but like, I'm going to drop heavy academics on you. So everyone's going to fall asleep. You know, what it really comes down to is, what can I do to still feel desirable and to know that there's kind of life outside of this person? And, you know, the whole old adage of the way to get over someone is to get under someone is somewhat reasonable, in that studies show if you really get back out there and try to date again as soon as you go through a breakup, that your levels of self-esteem will increase. So will your sense of being desirable, because you'll have people reflecting back that, yeah, other people find you attractive or interested in you. Even if you're not interested in them, it's still going to have it reflected back and reminded that there's more to come. And so some people are all about taking time to focus on yourself. Well, no, don't do that if you're looking to be relational and in a relationship. I'm hyper-relational. I really value and do best when in relationships. So I don't practice being single because I don't have a goal of being single. And I think it's, the work is relational. And so I'm constantly out there dating and working on building relationship with people I'm interested in. So get back on there, get out there and date, move forward, you know, and just remember that it might take meeting someone you like as much or more to be able to get over it. That's kind of how it goes, even with jobs, right? You lose a job, but as soon as you get one you like as much or more, helps you kind of heal that a little bit. So get back out there.
I just recently broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years, and I'm curious to know if it's healthy or unhealthy to keep in contact with them.
It's a good question. How does it feel when you stay in contact? Because I wrote about this in my first book, Sex Outside the Lines. I think it's a healthy sign when people are friends with their exes. We shouldn't be using the word breakup. Again, the caveat is, I'm assuming it's a healthy person. When you realize with a healthy person that the sexual romantic connection or chemistry is not there anymore, we should really just reorient the boundaries and say, okay, cool. So let's maintain in contact around all the other things we enjoy about each other. That's the goal. And hopefully you can do that immediately, but maybe just down the road. But it depends on how much pain there is. You know, you don't want to spend time around people where you leave them feeling depleted or worse off. So that's kind of the barometer. If you can still hang out with them, you know, maybe a little discomfort, but you're like, I can still connect with them and feel good with them and enjoy all the things we've built, because there's no reason necessarily to remove them. I think it's a really beautiful, healthy thing, right? You work these people into our lives. It'd be great if we could learn how to kind of slowly work them back out. But no, I think it's okay to have them in your life as long as it's not leaving you feeling worse or bad, right? Because that's not the goal or purpose of relationality. So just check in around that, and hopefully you can find spaces where you can intersect. But some people can't. They need to kind of take some time away and focus on other things. And if that's the case, do so. But no, inherently, there's nothing bad or wrong about it. Some future partners won't understand and might be confused by that. But I'm a big fan of you trying to do that to the best of your ability. So yeah, do your best with that. All right. Question of the night coming up next, but it's still on our IG page, so get in on that. You guys are blowing it up with great answers. Tonight's question's about TI and the whole hymen gynecological thing. So weigh in on that one. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Question of the nighttime. Now,
question of the night.
Put your seatbelts on, because y'all got some strong opinions about this one. It's about T.I. and him taking his daughter to the gynecologist to check out to see if her hymen's intact. Oof. I know, there's so many things wrong with this. Y'all weighing in on it. Here we go. Starting us off right. First thought from y'all is, it's disgusting. And another reason why men feel the need to have rights over women. Bam, starting us off right. Someone else in all caps said, it's disturbing. It really is. It's very upsetting, disturbing that, you know, again, adultism, where adults think that they have control and power over children. You know, teach your child to have some autonomy. It's sexism. I mean, there's so, I could go on for hours about how many things are loaded into this one situation. T.I. taking his daughter to get her hymen check. Someone else said, so wrong, right? Nothing right about it at all. Someone else said, someone needs to read Shameless by Nadia Boles Weber. Ah, and someone did. I did. Great, great book. I think we talked about this on air a couple months ago. Nadia Boles Weber is a minister, pastor. Really beautiful in that it's all about inclusivity, congregation, and she had people mail in purity rings, and she melted them all down into a golden vagina to take empowerment back. And then her and Gloria Steinem traveled with it. I mean, I'm into that. I got to come up with my version of that. We'll work on it. What would Dr. Chris's version be of that? Some powerful act of sex positivity. We'll work on it. If you guys have some ideas, write in and tell me. I want to do something like that, though. Y'all can mail me in your something or others. Melt it down. Do something. Someone else said, sorry, triggered. Men don't own women's sexuality. I'm with you. And here we are. You got a third point. I'm still with you. F off. I know. You should be triggered. It's highly gross and problematic. Someone else said, he's gross, and now I have to skip past his music while I'm working it out, because no thanks. Yeah, see, that's the thing. When a public figure presents really problematically, it's really hard to hear their music, watch them play a sport, or watch them on television or in a movie, and not have this kind of like floating up around them in the background, you know? It's like Kanye. Wait, and how so?
Full-on Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah, Kanye's always doing something that's a hot mess. You got to keep, yeah, he's recently up to something else, too. God bless. Okay, we digress. T.I. and the whole hymen situation. Someone said invasive, creepy, unnecessary. I know. Unnecessary because it's not even a real thing. We talked about that in a couple segments ago. Someone said such BS, my hymen tore during ballet practice. Hymen doesn't prove at virginity. It's right. Someone else said we should be teaching girls and guide our daughters on the importance of setting and holding boundaries. It's right. Give them skills to decide for themselves. No one owns anyone else's sexuality. And we have to train our children to have sex when they feel like they're ready to have sex and navigate the waters. But we have to give them skills and the language, not control them. Someone else said no trust and controlling. That's right. Someone else said, as far as T.I. and his daughter, it's just gross. A lot of gross. We love that word. Someone else said, it's just gross. Virginity and purity are constructs. Hymens can break for non-sex reasons. That's right. Someone said, sounds odd and creepy. Someone else said, I think it sounds creepy. Double responder. Someone else said, it's perpetuating so many myths about virginity, telling her she has no agency over her body. I know. And that's what's most discerning to me is that, or unsettling is that. I'm curious, what are the other ways in which he might be overtly and covertly reinforcing this as well outside of what we know, right? Because I'm wondering if it really stops there. And also, what's going on with his son? He has a son. You know, he's not giving him any shade around all this or, you know, problem, I don't think. All right. Someone else said he's an absolute idiot. Someone else said, not saying he is, but it's like he's sexualizing her for himself. Questions to ask. Someone else said it's disturbing. What's his fascination with his daughter's sexuality? Bam. That's the question. Why is he so fixated and fascinated on his daughter's sexuality? What is the meaning in it for him? Totally. Control, reflection on him as a father, objectification, sexualization. I mean, you ask good questions. Someone else said GTFO, all caps, vomit emoji. I gotcha. Someone else said this is very sad, very violating, very unscientific, sexphobic, misogynistic, aggressive. That's right. All that. It's true. Unscientific for sure, violating. I think that's it. Such a massive violation on top of everything else. Someone said disgusting, overbearing. Y'all coming for it. I love it. Someone said takes away the young woman's personal autonomy and promotes shame. I know. And unfortunately, she's now all over the media because of it. She didn't even ask for this. This is him and her photo and her name. I mean, this is going to be carried with her. She's going to be that girl for a minute. It breaks my heart for her. Someone else said this is coercion and control. No parent has a right to such control. This is not okay. I agree. People think they own their children. They really, really do. And that's not parenthood is. It's not ownership. And you don't own your child. Your child is responsible for their own path in their own life. We do this in all different ways with children. We want them to live their lives based on our comfort and reducing our anxiety. We want them to get jobs and live lives that are about making us happy and us comfortable. And that is not their job. A child's job is to have their own source of fulfillment and meaning in the world, especially around sex. We got to back off. sex doesn't harm. Harmful people harm. Someone else said, women have ownership of their body. He should discuss sex with her in a healthy way. Agreed. Someone else says, dumb AF. That's right. Someone else said, that is messed. Someone else said, hymen can also be broken from other reasons. Someone else said, horrifying. We have a lot to unlearn about power. Y'all are coming on in. Last final statements, just unnecessary and uncomfortable. It reinforces multiple problematic stigmas. And finally, his daughter is an adult. It's her own body. Bam. We got to land on that one. It's true. Coming up next, sliding into those DMs. Listening to The Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, DM time.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, my girlfriend asked me to move in, but I said no. Is that bad? She seemed really rejected when I turned her down on it. Don't get me wrong. We've dated for almost 2 years now, and it's going pretty good. But she felt really bad that I turned down for financial reasons. Is there anything I should do? It's interesting you turn it down for financial reasons. Often people move in for financial reasons to save money. So I am curious to hear how not moving in is a more beneficial financial reason. But nonetheless, is it bad? No. Don't make decisions you're not ready or interested in making. You know why? It sets the other person up for you to resent them and to make them responsible for making you do that. So there's two pieces in here. One, if we make a decision, it's our decision made and we take responsibility for the outcomes of that. You can't then say you made me do this. No one can make you do anything. Literally, even with a gun to your head, you still literally have a choice. And so if someone says move in and you choose to, you take full responsibility for whatever comes of doing so. But you don't need to live with someone to show love and care. As we talked recently, there's a lot of people that are choosing to never cohabitate, even people that are married. So it shouldn't necessarily be an expectation. The word we use is the relational escalator, where these are cultural ideals that as a relationship progresses in terms of time and commitment, that you should hit certain milestones. It's not true. There aren't milestones that need to be hit. You have a right to say, I never want to cohabitate. And you can still have a lot of love, care, and closeness. Sharing a space doesn't promise that. So maybe just do the work of repairing how much love and care there is, but that it's just not something that makes a lot of sense to you. And your partner has to accept that. You know, there's work on both sides, right? Make sure your partner still feels loved and cared for, but your partner has to respect your decision for whatever that is and still show up. So no, it's not bad at all. Do you? Here we go. Hey, Loveline. I've been dating and talking to this woman for over a week. She seems to be very reserved and keeps her distance. She's not really the romantic, flirty type in conversations either. I'm attracted to her, but I'm unsure if I should continue dating her because I feel like I constantly have to keep the conversation going. Should I just keep seeing her in hopes that she'll open up, or are we not compatible? Man, it's a tough one. I don't know. I can't really tell you, but I can say that it is sounding like it's not compatibility, but a week is maybe a little bit too soon for you to decide if someone's able to get more comfortable and open up. You know, there might be more to it. So if you're interested in someone and there's no abuse, hang in there. It's only been a week. Keep dating other people, right? You guys are not in a serious committed monogamous relationship. Keep seeing other people. Give it more time. Give it a month. You know, there's no reason to not. You have the time and energy to keep trying to talk and date and hang out. So yeah, give it more time. And if about a month goes by and you realize this person still is very low levels of intimacy and vulnerability and transparency, then you can say, we're not really compatible. I'm looking for someone who wants more closeness or can tolerate that. And then you can, you know, create an exit strategy. But I would say it's still a little too soon to say that. So hang in there. Keep dating other people. There's no reason to feel like you're missing out on other things as you're getting to know this person. You know, some people take time, but then some people are just lower intimacy and more introverted, and that's okay too. So yeah, hang in there. The flirty piece is something secondary too. You know, sexual compatibility is about someone's ability and interest in being sexually forthcoming and whatnot as well. I don't like dating people that don't sext and flirt. I think it's a really important, beautiful level of intimacy to be built. It's a way to feel close. It tells me we're compatible. It's fun. So got my support on that end. But make sure you're asking for that. I also like the idea of people reflecting back like, hey, it'd be really great if you were more vulnerable with me. Is that possible? Because maybe they're just not aware. Sometimes I've been known to fire off really empty texts because I'm just distracted and not aware. So also reflect back what you're looking for and see if they can meet you there. Trojan Condoms. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. This is a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore with confidence. This weekend, y'all set some self-care goals. Right? That's what my weekend is, y'all. I got an event. I got Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock's birthday party. It's my girl. Be there Saturday night at Mama Shelter. Come on out. Say, hey. Private party, but I'll be swinging around after. But otherwise, I want to be big. I know. I don't know why the hell I'm saying that. Let's edit that part out. I know, right? I know. Put it on blast. But otherwise, I'm going to be binge watching television and sleeping because God knows I need a freak break. So anyway, shows, podcasts at wearechannelq.com. Check us out. As always, thank you for hanging out with me and have an awesome, awesome night.